Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, My Talkers, it's 5 o'clock somewhere, and in fact, it is 5 o'clock right now here in the My Talk studios. We're hanging out with Lori, and Julia is back from her vacation. We are excited to have her in studio. The gang is back together. What's in store for us now, guys?
Well, okay, so yesterday, you know, we posted a Chanum on the cover of on the February issue of Vanity Fair. Vanity Fair, because Madonna is the... The European one.
Yes, the icon issue.
So, Chan, I mean, he gave a really great interview in it and blah, blah, blah. But one of the things that was...
Magic Mike
is coming out in very soon. And saw a trailer. Man, it looks so good. It looks so good.
They were both... The first two were so good.
Yes. But it looked really good.
Okay.
And the big story that came out of it yesterday was he said he wasn't... And it was kind of like they do, taken out of context. He wasn't sure if he'd ever get married again, which is what people always say when they have had a hard divorce, a painful divorce, whatever kind of divorce. Like, it's the last thing you're thinking of, unless you are running straight into love again and you do a rebound second marriage very, very quickly. And that, too, will probably end up in a pile of tears and flames.
About yourself.
Yes. No, but many people do rebound marriages. But he just said, you know, he never thought he would fall. He and Jenna Dewan would fall out of love for each other.
Right.
Never really. He thought it was forever everything when he met her.
Yes.
And it was so painful. He didn't know if he could do it again. And so that was the headline yesterday. Chanum doesn't know
if he'll ever be in love again, marry again.
Yes.
Well, because he is supposedly
dating Zoe Kravitz.
Right.
And they keep it pretty low key.
Right.
And he's starring, I believe, in her Kitty Island.
But is it ever coming out?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is.
It is. But one of the things buried in the Vanity Fair, which I haven't gotten my February issue. And Vanity Fair, I sent you a check in December. They treat their magazine people so bad.
Well, I'm going to say something about January subscriptions. The one that comes on time, Minneapolis St. Paul Magazine.
They do.
That comes on time, but I ordered Consumer Reports. Not going to get it until like the end of February.
Maybe because magazines are drying up, but I like Instagram with pages.
Lori, I do too.
I love People Magazine was always a good sit down.
I just like my Vanity Fair.
I love
it goes with me
and
on a it on a plane. I like it on a beach. I like to give it to the flight attendant.
Can I just say something about the damn QR codes? Because someone in Playa del Carmen and basically that whole arm of Mexico, they decided they're not going to make maps anymore.
Right.
They're not going to make little maps of cute places to go. They're not going to give you menus anymore.
It's maddening.
And if your phone doesn't work outside of the hotel, you can't do anything.
Yeah.
The damn QR code.
The craze is.
We want paper.
We want printers.
I want a menu.
We want it.
So in this Vanity Fair story,
thank you for letting us ring.
Yes. Thank you.
Magic Mike.
Girls, we're in danger. No, because Chanum has let us know he's acquired the rights to remake the 1990 romantic classic Ghost. And it would potentially star himself in the Patrick Swayze role.
No.
And when he was doing this interview with Vanity Fair, they were throwing clay.
No.
Oh, don't do interviews before, during, or after throwing clay. I give you Olivia Wilde.
Oh, no.
Lori.
Oh.
Okay, now wait a minute.
Oh, no.
Okay.
All right.
So there's so many people who don't know that version.
It could be, but that is on endlessly.
Is it really?
Ghost is on many.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Dirty Dancing.
Okay.
Which was
like,
on this weekend, by the way.
Yeah, it was. Right. It gets all replayed. Right. Chanum is threatening us all with the possible bad time that letting us know his production company owns the Patrick Swayze role.
No.
So the music will go from unchanged melody to Pony by Ginuwine.
Oh, I love that song.
But we're going to do something different. I think it needs to change a little bit.
Okay. Well,
instead
then don't be
pottery,
Patrick Swayze.
I am an artist.
And just in the original film, directed by Jerry Zucker, Patrick Swayze is killed right away by this bad guy. And then his ghost sets out to save his girlfriend, Molly, played by Demi Moore in a short, cute haircut.
The cutest ever.
And
beautiful.
The surprise summer hit of 1990.
Whoopi Goldberg.
Whoopi.
Whoopi. And it catapulted the Righteous Brothers' Unchained Melody back to the top of the charts. And Unchained Melody anchors the end of the Elvis movie. With Austin Butler as younger Elvis, going back and forth between this performance was 6 weeks before Elvis died. Listen to his voice. And when you look at the video, Graham posted it.
Are you going to be okay if the Elvis movie doesn't win the Oscar?
Yes, I will.
I just want to check in on your
Elvis and Top Gun has won the hearts and minds of the people.
I want one of those to win Best Picture.
Yeah,
because people went to them. They deserve it.
And Unchained Melody, just going back to Ghost, and I'll get back to Elvis. I'm tying this all up. But, I mean, that song was... People hadn't heard it for a long time.
Sure.
And I remember in 19... What year did I first get married?
Wasn't Ghost... It was set in Chicago. And I remember when they played that at the very end on the boat.
In 1987, I picked Unchained Melody to be my first wedding dance with my husband. And I knew that song because my parents had the Righteous Brothers album. And my mom, being an Elvis fan... believed that Elvis owned that no one sang that song with more it was always on. So I just thought that was a beautiful song to dance with my husband to, and people were like, wow, what's this old song? And then you know, in 1990, everybody knows that it goes back to the top of the charts with the Righteous Brothers. I mean,
it's a beautiful,
this is the scene from Ghost, right?
Yeah. It's a beautiful song.
This is the
song.
Righteous Brothers.
It's a beautiful song.
A beautiful love song, right?
And they're holding, embracing.
Yes. And I really, in that moment when I danced with my husband, I really thought we'd be together forever. I really had no idea what a shallow wife I was going to end up being. But anyway, and then Austin Butler... When Denzel Washington and Austin thanked him at the Golden Globes.
Oh, he did?
He thanked Denzel Washington and he said, you know, he didn't have to do something, but he did. And he didn't explain it. But the thing he did was that in 2019, Austin Butler, who was trying to shed his Nickelodeon image as the boyfriend Carrie Bradshaw, younger in the Carrie Diaries, all that. He is acting in The Iceman Cometh on Broadway with Denzel. Serious play.
Right.
And he told Denzel, you know, I'm trying to get an audition with this guy named Baz Luhrmann. Mm-hmm. Do you know him? And Denzel's like, I don't know him, but I can find out how to get a hold of him. And because he's like, I want to audition.
For Elvis,
and at that point, it was between Miles Teller and Harry Styles.
Right.
And this is Boz confirms Austin's telling. So Austin, after Denzel calls and he says, I'm working with this young actor. I've never seen a work ethic. This is a hard play that Iceman coming.
Right.
Will you watch his tape? And so then Austin has to figure out what can he play to convince him that he could be Elvis. He thought... His friend, he's got in trouble last week on the Hollywood Reporter Roundtable. He said a friend suggested that he try out for Elvis. That friend was his girlfriend of 9 years, Vanessa Hudgens.
He was with her forever.
People were very mad that he referred to her as friend.
My old girlfriend.
Yeah, he couldn't say, you know, my girl. But anyway, he was trying to think of the song and
that
then
would stick out to sing.
Stick out. And then maybe he Googled, like, I don't remember that he explained how he came up on recording Unchained Melody, but he had someone videotape him at the piano because Austin Butler does play the piano, started at like 12. And
that's very late.
Yeah. And did Unchained Melody. And then he wasn't really happy with it. And then whoever was helping him with Elvis was 23, just like you were when your mom died. Think of your mom when you sing that and sing it with all the emotion in your heart. So he sang Unchained Melody
again.
Thought about his mom.
Oh, God.
Like cried, just like we see in the end of Elvis. At the end of that movie, it goes back and forth between Austin Butler singing that song like in the 70s. Mm-hmm. It's really Elvis's voice. And then Elvis, 6 weeks before he dies in like Indiana.
Right.
And the sweat is pouring down. And yeah, he's puffy looking, but singing with all this emotion. So Boz gets the tape.
I would love to see that tape.
Austin and was just like,
don't you think that would
call Harry, call Miles, they're out. I found my Elvis.
Right. Don't you think that would be a good in the Oscar bid of this movie to release that demo, that trial?
That would be pretty cool if it's good.
Grant, when you just said that, I just thought that would be good marketing to release that tape.
I would play it.
They could if Boz does the unedited. Right. I mean, they seem to have a plan for the, and we don't know, Elvis did get nominated for a SAG Award.
Yes.
And Austin Butler did, and I think Baz Luhrmann did. Sally Field is the Lifetime Achievement Award.
That's awesome.
The Screen Actor Guild Awards.
And she's also along with a few other, like for 80 for Brady, a couple of her co-stars from 80 for Brady are also in that, because they've won it in the past, right? For the SAG
Jane
Award?
Jane Fonda, I don't know that.
She might be. No, they're not nominated for anything.
No, they're not nominated, but they're previous winners of the SAG Award.
Sam Elliott got nominated for 1883. Austin Butler got nominated, for Elvis and for Best Ensemble. That, you know, it's Babylon, the Banshees, everything, the Fablemen and Women Talking. So it didn't get an Elvis nod for a movie, and neither did Top Gun.
Oh, they didn't?
No.
No.
Uh-oh.
But, no.
Big missed opportunity by the SAGs because The Fablemans is just a B-movie and Women Talking is good but depressing as hell.
Oh, God.
Babylon is just terrible and The Banshees, people are going to hate most of it. So Everything Everywhere All at Once can win as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, Sally follows in the footsteps of her co-stars from 80 for Brady who have also won it. Rita Moreno and Lily Tomlin.
Oh, have been Lifetime Achievement Awards.
Lifetime Achievement Awards. So I want to make that clear.
Yeah.
That's
so
cool.
Sally.
Congratulations to Sally. That's
Sally,
big news.
That's amazing. All right, we got to go. Grant, you got some dirt alert to bring us.
That we do.
Okay, so earlier, Julia, we were talking about El Burrito Mercado, where we love going. And by the way, always every Tuesday through Saturday is happy hour at the bar, 3 to 6. Taco Tuesday is, of course, Tuesday. They serve great breakfast there. We love the deli and grab section because so many salsas, ceviches. Guacamole.
They have this one
jalapeno poppers, chile rellenos. You're up to date.
Well,
you just
I had them
Mexican
at both
food.
Of my kids' graduation parties.
Oh, yes.
Because if you're thinking of graduation parties,
book one of their,
you know,
the
they
trucks.
Do the catering. Trucks are too small for graduation parties, but if you're thinking
catering.
Of trucks, too, they book out. So if you're thinking that everyone loved the food, they're great with catering, but also the grab and go, like you're talking about. Taco Tuesdays, three all day. It's three tacos for $5. I mean, it's such a great deal, and they have beautiful, authentic, wonderful Mexican food.
To find out where it is, go to My Talk keyword burrito.
This is a My Talk Dirt Alert.
Well, we were just talking about our favorite most recent biopic of the king himself of rock and roll, Elvis. It looks like we are going to be gifted the great gift of a biopic about Michael Jackson, the king of pop.
Okay, tell us more.
So this is really cool. A lot of really big people involved, including basically the people in charge of Michael Jackson's estate. The executors of Michael Jackson's estate are all involved in this.
So it's going to stop before the child molestation.
Yes.
It'll stop. That'll be the end stop.
But the cool thing is all the people behind the scenes. So Antoine Fuqua is going to be directing this film. Now, he's known for being an executive producer for a lot of things like The Equalizer with Denzel Washington, 1, 2, and 3, Training Day, Bullet Train, Emancipation, which just...
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
Came out.
Isn't he a director?
Wasn't he was with Bohemian Rhapsody too?
Bohemian Rhapsody. No, so the Bohemian Rhapsody is John Logan. He penned you're right. He did, it's going to be produced by Graham King. So he's directing this one.
Antoine is
directing. Yeah, Graham director. King is producing it, and Graham King was tied to Bohemian Rhapsody.
Okay.
Now the writer of it, well, behind it is John Logan, who's tied to Gladiator, Aviator.
Oh, wow.
You know, a lot of Oscar acclaimed film. So you've got a great director, a great writer.
You know,
and a great
I mean,
producer.
Just like with Whitney, if they do the early life.
And he had an amazing life before. I mean, it was amazing.
Amazing. And in much the same way the Elvis movie doesn't dwell on all the sadness and heartache. And,
yes.
When people try and bring up, you know, like the bad things about a person, it's going to focus on how he became who he became and maybe to give some compassion, insight, whatever, about, like, you know,
a look into the eyes of the greatest rock superstar in the world, maybe, you know, not just the bad side.
Well, Elvis is the king.
The greatest rock. But, you know, when you talk, Elvis never got to go over the world.
He has an incredible story in that just even any of us that have watched just the Jackson 5
on VH1, yes.
You know, his family history, all of that, all
he
the kids,
huge,
the talent.
You guys. He was
his
huge.
Dad and how horrible his father
yes.
was.
Just like, you know, Colonel Tom Parker with Elvis.
Watch it. We'll totally
100%.
Watch it.
Yeah. And the thing that'll be interesting, and like I was kind of saying, was different, is that Michael Jackson got to do the world tours.
Yeah.
Whereas, as we know, Colonel Tom Parker would not allow Elvis to do that. So I just want to see how his impact outside, how they paint that picture outside the United States, too. He was quite the entertainer. So, well, we've got some Brad Pitt news, and this one's kind of interesting. Quietly, and I use the word quietly, he has listed his longtime L.A. compound.
Can we please, Hollywood, speak quietly listing?
Mm-hmm.
Would you love to take him down?
I know, that's why I'm
bringing it. No, but the quiet listing. I'll tell you what. Is this the home that he had the kids, that he raised the kids with, Angelina?
Yes, all that. And he's had this home for over 30 years. He bought it in 1994 for $1.7 million from Elvira, mistress of the Dark Star, Cassandra Peterson.
That's right.
And he's selling it now for $40 million.
He does not need that many damn bedrooms. He no longer has a swimming pool, a tennis court, and skating rink buddies, because the kids are never with him.
Nope.
And he also is quietly getting sued. Miravel has become his, what do you call it when you've thrown good money after bad?
Just when you can't let it go. It's his, what do you call it when you throw everything at something?
A
sinking ship.
Yeah, it's a sinking ship.
And he won't let it go.
He put all this money into a recording studio, and it's very difficult to own these big things.
And why would he, who would go over there to record? Are the Beatles going back together again? I mean, it's very much...
It feels like the Miravel thing and then the whole everything. I'm glad Angie has disentangled herself from all of that.
Okay, whatever, Lori. Yeah. She has also...
He needs something smaller because that house reminds him of his family.
Yeah.
And he's just rattling around in it.
And does he need money at all? Or...
Well, he did buy the place up in Carmel.
Okay.
For a lot of money.
So maybe
and he sold 60% of Plan B, which I was really surprised at. So I really think that he is in this Miravel. He's got legal fees with Angelina, but everything sort of seems to be nothing much. The lawsuit that's happening with Miravel, with that partner that Angelina sold it to, they're accusing him of financial shenanigans.
Yeah, and it hasn't stopped.
And the forensic accounting lawyers, which I just know a little bit about from watching The Good Wife and The Good Fight.
Are you watching that right now?
The Good Fight. We dip in and out of that when we don't, you know, because
she was nominated. I was so happy.
She's so good.
Christine Baranski is
a great show.
Fabulous.
Yeah, that's a great show.
I was so happy to see her.
Well, speaking of a great show or documentary series.
But I love quietly listening. And then his publicist lets everybody know.
That's true. Quietly. It was very, very blatant there.
Right.
So now we have, and it has been released, this new three-part limited docu-series exploring the smash hit Glee, which is called The Price of Glee. And now this pulls back the curtains and investigates all the alleged darkness on the set of Ryan Murphy's musical hit. Now this is out, so you can see
it's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix. Okay. You can also, for some reason, you can also watch it on Discovery Plus. That's what from my research. Okay. And if you want, you could try a free trial, 7-day trial of Discovery Plus, and get it that way as well.
Julia and I loved Glee when that came out.
But I have I am done with it. I don't want to go back. I'm done. I don't care about these people. I don't care.
Yeah.
No, well, there's a lot of juicy details coming out.
Tell us the juicy details. Okay, can he do that? Then we for sure don't have to watch it.
Naya Rivera.
So funny.
Is it Rivera? Naya Rivera?
Naya Rivera.
She recently passed away trying to save her son from drowning a couple years ago.
Yes.
Well, her father has come out. He is in it, and he does an interview, and he claims that she and Lea Michele really, in fact, did hate each other, despite Naya's, denying this rumor for all these years.
I don't think we believe Naya. I think everybody hated Lea Michele, and Lea Michele hated everybody.
And I don't care about it anymore.
Yeah. But Lea Michele threatened to take a dump in Naya's wig.
It wasn't Naya's wig. It was another woman.
But still, pretty horrible.
Legendary.
We saw them the first year that they were nominated for a SAG award, and Lea Michele and Corey Monteith didn't talk to anybody. They were shepherded away from the rest of the staff like they were diamonds in their own right. And all the other Glee kids talked to us, and they were super nice. And we knew right away, oh God, two people.
Are you interested in this?
I'm not.
Nope, never watched the show, either. So I won't be watching it.
I just don't want to read. I'm done with those people. I feel like I know enough dirt. Yeah, I just don't want to.
Yeah, I mean, we enjoyed the show when it was on. Do we need to relive it?
No.
But
that's
it is.
How I feel about it.
This documentary, which does intrigue me, is all the unfortunate.
There's a lot of bad
juju that has come from this show.
Certainly has.
I would be interested in that part of it, but not the Glee aspect.
Got it.
All right. Well, if you watch it, give us a review, would you?
I'll get back to you.
Or anyone could watch it for us and email us.
We would love that. It did come out on Monday, so you can check that out. Okay. That's your My Talk Dirt Alert for 520. Thanks, guys. Let's take.
Hey, everybody. It's Lori and Julia here for Learning RX. And here's a testimonial that we got from Rich, who runs the Egan Savage and Woodbury location, about a boy called Brennan, who when he was heading into third grade, he had so much just learning frustrations, let's just call them that, before learning RX. And reading was the most difficult subject, and it was just a battle to even get him to read. And after he went through Learning RX, last summer, he's now reading everything. Whenever they go somewhere, he likes to read the signs. He likes reading books. And he's told his parents, you guys can't spell things anymore to get them past me because I know what you're spelling.
I love that. I love that. Learning RX, 7 great locations in the Twin Cities area. Also a virtual option if you need it. Call them today, 952-941-6900.
Vintage.
Was quite the scandal.
Thank you, Grant.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. So, of course, Julia, even I'm sure while you're away, you could not escape the influx, the absolute clutching your pearls, and the people going crazy over Prince Harry's memoir, Spare. And in the meantime, he's a huge hit on Colbert, really a great interview. Colbert at his highest.
That was good.
Yeah, it was such a good interview. Highest ratings
people
in 3 years.
People can't stand it because I sat next to I've met a lot of English people in Austria.
They've been brainwashed by the tabloids that they so dearly love to read, We read the Daily Mail.
And we do.
We had a couple examples last week of true things, and you did the
I
one,
saw
too.
It, yes.
We did it a couple more times.
They just lied. They just changed the headlines to suit their narrative. 100%.
Click clickbait.
Mm-hmm. And I'm about halfway through Harry's book, Spare. Okay. Did you?
I haven't even started.
Okay, you haven't started it.
I was wondering how his voice sounds.
No, I couldn't do it. I just wanted to be
My friend
free.
Is loving it.
Really?
Listening to him because he has a great voice.
Yeah.
So cool.
But I thought, you know what? You know, the firm, which is what the British royal family is unofficially known as, has been grappling with this, you know, really since The Crown came out.
And that was another thing that they said, they don't watch it.
Yeah, well, a lot of people...
I was just fascinated by...
A lot of people do, though, because...
Oh, I know a lot of people do.
I always wonder about people who say they never watch it. They just don't claim to watch it. But The Crown, particularly after the second season was over and the young Elizabeth, and then it moved to the Olivia Colman. Mm-hmm. And then things started getting more dicey in the family.
Right.
Anyway, so they've had all, then the Oprah interview, then the Netflix. Right, so blah, Harry's blah, getting blah. All
yes.
the stuff.
Yep.
But I just want you to know that there are other messy monarchies.
Oh my gosh, yes,
but
Lori.
We, you know, maybe let's just go into that. So people, I don't want people to feel that Harry is like doing something really unbelievable, because there's some other unbelievable
there
stuff.
Have been
let's
other.
Travel to Norway. Jagtala
Neveskala.
No. Jaisnakalita Norsk.
Okay.
Well done.
Thank you.
Or she can means, say something means, in every damn
it
language.
It means I speak a little Norwegian.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Okay. There were waves in Norway last November when Princess Martha Louise relinquished her princess duties in order to focus on her alternative medicine business with her fiancé, a celebrity shaman, whose clients have included Selma Blair, Nina Dobrev, and... He wrote a book in 2019 called Spirit Hacking, that cancer is a choice. If you get cancer, it is your choice.
Oh, dear. Oh,
and
dear.
He calls himself a sixth generation shaman. Other people call him a first generation con man.
Yeah, I would say.
And he sells a spirit optimizer medallion on his website that he claims will help you get over COVID-19 and protect you from COVID-19.
Woo-hoo.
For her part, Princess, well, no longer Princess, we'll just call her Martha Louise, has let us know that she frequently talks with animals and angels. So the Norwegian royal family was very happy when Princess Martha Louise renounced her crown and all royal duties to be with this guy.
Okay? Are they still together?
Yes. Okay, so that's Norway. Oh, yeah. Norway. Mm-hmm. Now let's move to Denmark.
Okay.
Well, you didn't know they had a royal family. Oh, they certainly do. Not only do they have a royal family, but when Queen Marguerite the Second of Denmark announced just a couple months ago that she had discontinued royal titles for the children of her second son, her spare, meaning that her grandchildren, you know,
after the first one, her grandchildren don't get titles.
No one, her son, they would not be princess or princess. It caused a huge tit for tat saga that was played out in the Danish news media for weeks, because Prince Joachim said, "We are all very sad."
Is he the spare?
Yes. He said, "It's never fun to see your children being mistreated so much. They have been put in a situation they do not understand. They thought they were going to be princes and princesses. I was only given 5 days to tell them." His eldest son said, "We are in shock and we are confused that our grandmother could do this." And then in October, I think she did this in September and October, Queen Margaret admitted she'd underestimated the impact of her choice, but said it was a long time coming.
And she's going to stick with it.
That's right. Mm-hmm. They're in line with her values as queen, mother, and grandmother. It caused
a ruckus.
Ruckus.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Because you've grown kids, it sounds like.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Then in Thailand, let's move along to Thailand. This is really good. So when the king of Thailand is not a conventional ruler by any contemporary standards. The king, the new one. He was crowned in 2019 when his father died, who'd ruled Thailand for like 79, you know, not as long as Queen Elizabeth, but
long time.
Yeah, remember, we kind of talked about it, like the country went in a mourning for a week. Mm-hmm. He was like the longest running monarch, and then Queen Elizabeth became that. But anyway, so he became king in 2019. By the time he became king, he'd been married four times, publicly courted many, many mistresses, pop artists, actresses, all kinds of younger women. When he was the crown prince, he appointed his pet poodle, Fufu, to the role of Air Chief Marshal over the Thailand Air Force.
Love this.
And when the poodle died in 2015, had the country have 4 days of Buddhist funeral rites.
Oh my God.
And King Maha is 70 years old. He loves to wear crop tops, and he likes wet and pressed tattoos, and he's worn them.
Breast my gosh, tattoos.
And he mostly lives in Berlin. Okay, and so when you see Thai protesters, they are wearing crop tops and belly bearing vests for the pro democracy promoters at recent rallies where they want to get rid of
the monarchy.
Mm-hmm. And because he's the richest monarch in the world. He has $43 billion in royal assets, the king of Thailand.
Wow.
Yeah. And he's supposed to do more to benefit the people, sure. And he does nothing.
He lives in Berlin.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And then last but not least, let's go to Spain.
Oh.
Another monarchy. Mm-hmm. In May of last year, King Juan Carlos returned to Spanish soil for the first time in 2 years after he ruled there for 40 years, but he had to abdicate in 2014, moved to Abu Dhabi in 2020 after fraud investigators said he got $100 million in kickbacks for this high-speed rail contract in Saudi Arabia that was awarded to Spanish contractors, a company.
Yeah.
And Swiss prosecutors dropped the case, but he was a very lavish, Juan Carlos, very lavish. He took elephanting hunt trips during the middle of Spain's worst financial crisis. Mm-hmm. He had a string of extra open marital affairs. Mm-hmm. You know, the queen, he had murky business dealings for access, and one shared by his younger daughter's husband. So the Spanish people, they're like, screw you guys. And even though the current king and his fabulous wife, Queen Letizia, mm-hmm. who's a little fashion icon, they like to be seen out in public together, there's so much persona non grata that Constantine, when he just died, Constantine II, the last king of Greece just died. Prince William and Charles didn't even go. And Prince William is his godson. And he's like Charles's uncle or something. They didn't even go. They sent emissaries. Because, you know, they don't even want to be associated.
No respect.
So I'm just saying, these monarchies.
Messy.
Shame.
They're not the British are not the only ones with royal drama going on in their monarchy
forever. I mean, think
but
about,
we haven't reminded people, do you? And no. I thought vintage scandal was
all right. Perfect. Thank you for that.
Thank you, New York Times. All right, we'll be right back.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited about going to see the play at the Chanhassen Dinner Theater.
Well, we have 2 more weeks to see Footloose, okay?
Yes,
and there are still some dates. But yes, we get your tickets. We already have the prom is coming to the Chanhassen.
Big, splashy Broadway show.
February 10th.
So much fun. I cannot wait. It's based on a true story, all sorts of craziness, great music, dancing, and fun, and a touching story of acceptance and kindness. It's the prom.
And we know the prom does, they know how to do splashy big musical.
We're going to love it.
We're going to get great food when we go there. Our tickets. It's only here for 4 months, the prom.
Yes, you're right about that. Love Letters is coming back. The performances in February are up. Right now, Don Shelby and Nancy Nelson. It's going to be fabulous. There's some matinees available for that, too. Also, concert tributes are coming up. Frank Sinatra, Vintage Cruise, and tribute to Alabama. Stevie Ray's Comedy, The Chan. Thanks for hanging out with us, everybody. It is Wednesday.
Which Grant and I were probably thinking it's Tuesday because he didn't work. So tomorrow it's just a pleasant surprise that it's Thursday. The weekend is out.
Yes, I think so. Yeah. My goodness.
And tomorrow, Thursday, is...
Are we getting a bunch of snow or just a little bit?
Just a little bit from what I can see. But tomorrow, I know this is a little off topic, but that 90s show is released tomorrow on Netflix. Oh. And I have been looking...
How do the parents look exactly the same, basically?
Kitty and Red look like they have been sitting in the same time capsule from 2001 to 2023.
You know what? Sometimes it pays to have the same hairdo for all those years.
Or no hair at all.
Or no hair at all. Right. He's got the fringe.
He does. He's got the little halo. But yeah, no, I'm excited. That comes out tomorrow. It's a little off topic.
Yeah.
But, oh, I cannot wait.
Night Court came back last night, right?
Yes. And John Larroquette apparently is as great as he ever was on that show.
Yes. My parents were telling me all about it last night.
His doppelganger, Marky Post.
Oh, Marky Post?
She died.
Back in the day. Do you know she died like a couple years ago?
She did.
And we were just like, what? And
I know.
She was not old enough.
Old enough at all.
I had no idea she died.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah, and Julia.
Oh, she's so beautiful.
Julia in her 30s, people were always mistaking her for Marky Post.
Oh, she is so beautiful, Julia. Mm-hmm. I can see it.
Mm-hmm. I used to be, too.
You are freaking gorgeous.
No, but, I mean, I had my moments.
Well, yeah, you have to make peace. You don't get your 36-year-old you face for your whole life, damn it.
You just go through but different stages.
In your memory.
There you go.
And with one eye closed.
One eye closed.
What do you always say? You're young, sexy, or what is it?
I'm a younger, older person.
I'm a younger, older person. I love it.
Okay, so one of the... tonight, I just want to remind people, watch What Happens Live, our Brad Goroski.
Goroski, because he has a new show he's going to be
promoting.
Canada's
Drag Race.
Really?
Yes.
And he has another show that he's doing.
What's his name?
Excited.
Brad Goreski.
Love him.
He used to be Rachel Ray's assistant. He was
Rachel
on the
Zoe's.
Rachel Zoe. Remember how much we loved that show?
I loved it.
It's bananas.
Oh, yeah, the Rachel Zoe Project.
Yeah, the Rachel Zoe Project. That was when Bravo had some really, different kinds of shows.
It was good.
But Brad, I think, has a show on MTV.
It's called The Real Friends of WeHoo. WeHo. The Real Friends of WeHo.
West Hollywood.
West Hollywood. That's the new one that just came out.
What's it on? Is it on Bravo?
No. It looks to be on...
I could swear I
loved him.
I know. I could swear it was on MTV or VH1. It was on a random...
It's an MTV show. Yep. Mm-hmm. So it's... I'm guessing since it's MTV under the Paramount Network, you might be able to find that on Paramount Plus, but it airs... Friday nights, 9 p.m. on MTV.
Oh, yeah. That might be kind of a fun one.
Yeah.
West Hollywood.
I mean,
you know it.
Yeah.
I kind of like it.
It's like Queer Eye, but with different guys, and maybe they're all just going out and WeHo.
And they're all good-looking men, too.
Yeah,
nice. This looks interesting.
WeHo is full, although I can never call it. I would never call it.
Yeah, I didn't even know what WeHo was.
It's West Hollywood.
I was like, what is WeHo? Thank you for clarifying.
Julia and I are going to be staying on the corner of West Hollywood and Beverly Hills.
I know we are.
Friday.
Oh, you guys
Julia,
excited?
There's like this My Talkie thing going on here.
When we're gone, though.
No, no, but it's going to be announced tomorrow morning.
Okay, and so
on Jason's.
Okay, what time?
Show
8 o'clock,
like
probably.
At 8 o'clock.
Okay.
And so it was like very similar to what we did last year, which I think was the first year.
And you did it all without me again last year. For some reason, you did all the things. Did you get good ones for us, honey?
Well, Julia, a lot of us, I mean, Grant and I talked about it. Brittany had some approval.
Even Chris Hewitt got in on it a little bit.
Okay.
But the categories, Julia, there were many categories that we had the same people. Like, Actress of the Year, every show picked Michelle Yeoh.
So we had to come up with, we kind of missed the assignment where we were supposed to provide three options for each category.
For tiebreakers,
we only provided one. So
it
then
it still didn't make any sense to me because I said it's still Michelle Yeoh. So it was kind of a random selection process. We're not going to get movie of the year. Everyone picked Top Gun.
So did you pick Elvis?
Elvis.
Okay.
And then viral internet moment of the year.
The slap.
No, because we had a WTF award.
Oh, okay.
Everyone, meaning all four shows, picked did Harry Styles spit on Chris Pine.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, hysterical.
So I had to find two other ones for that. The WTF Award, everyone picked the Oscar slap.
Yep.
And Breakout Star of the Year, like three of the four shows picked Jenna Ortega.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So we Wednesday. All were all kind of in the same line of thinking, but we
so
have...
So you had to mix it up.
Yeah, but we have other categories, okay. And I feel real, real good
okay.
about...
Because we didn't win many last year.
Yeah, we only had a couple, I
yeah,
think.
Yeah, we and were not...
We had to, like, go and debate why. And,
yeah.
And, oh, okay. Yeah, and we're going to have to do that.
Good.
But voting, I think, like, starts on January 30th.
Okay.
Well, right now, so the nominations are tomorrow, like you said, at 8 a.m. on Jason's show, and then it says... to go online and vote for what you think should win based on our press release. And then that we're going to spend the 8 o'clock hour each day of the week, January 30th to February 3rd. Convincing and announcing winners. So yeah. I think you might be able to vote based after tomorrow, after the nominations are announced.
I don't know. That recall reading
well, Grant's
email.
Reading it.
Yeah. Yeah, this is based
and
on
And I did.
Promo.
I alerted Grant. I gave him the I didn't give you the Donnie Love message before, but if there's an email that says I must... be somewhere, be on a show, a time, a date.
Julia's
I need
gone.
That.
Julia's you to
gone.
Know.
Julia's gone. So yeah. There we go.
Yeah, the cycle. I love it. You know, thank you, Lori.
Yeah.
Well, we missed you.
Yeah, that's part of the reason why Ag can feel like I've retired from corporate America
because you don't read your emails.
By
I love
taking
it.
That stance,
that's just funny.
It feels very freeing and liberating.
Oh, good for you.
I mean, really, it's really the most silly thing. Ever
it is, but because to me, it feels there's liberating. A freedom.
Oh, I hate emails.
To it
when I before I worked here, I worked at the golf course. A lot of people know this, and I said, if you want to find me, you can find me in the office, or come out and find me on the golf course, or make a phone call.
I
refused email until I got into this world.
Yeah. I think people want to talk to people.
I do too. I'm sick and tired of text. I want to hear your voice.
I wish
there was voice
pick
to text
up the damn
email.
Phone.
There is. I suppose there is.
There is. You can send one.
But I hate my iPhone. I just wish you could do it on a computer.
The thing is, like, certain people are mumblers and slurs. So voice to text
doesn't work.
Or if you have a low tone to your voice.
I just remember my dad could never hear me on the phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, I'll do that, and someone's like, what are you trying to say to me exactly? And I'm like, just use your fingers or call. Because for some reason, my lady doesn't understand me.
Me too. Every time I use voice text, I'm like, that sounded right coming out of my head. I hit send. Right. I read it,
Something
and I'm like,
happened.
What the hell
what
did,
the heck
I, just
did
say?
I just say?
Something happened. Yeah. All right. Well, everyone have a great hump day.
Hump day it
we'll
is.
We'll be back tomorrow.
Welcome back, Julia.
Thank you.
Job done. Off you go.